Hello and welcome to The Common Good. Today on the show, we are talking about the Southeast Alaska Farmers Summit happening here in Petersburg, February 23rd through the 25th. And first, we're going to be joined by Maria Smets, who is co-founder and co-organizer of the Farmers Summit. And then later on in the show, we will talk with Joe Orsi, owner of Orsi Organics in Auk Bay. Thanks for joining me for The Common Good. Let's get to the show.
The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.
I'm here with Maria Smets, one of the founders and organizers of the Southeast Alaska Farmers Summit.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Maria. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You are also a farmer and the co-owner of Farragut Farms.
That's right.
Which is just north of Petersburg in Farragut Bay, mm-hmm. correct? And it is Farragut Farms is run and owned by you and your partner, Beau Versano.
That's correct.
So, first, I just wanted to know a little bit more about your history with farming. How did you get into farming?
Kind of by happenstance. I had been living out with Beau in Farragut Bay, and we had a large subsistence garden. We had other jobs. I was guiding. He was fishing. But we always grew a big garden to feed ourselves out there. And at some point, we both kind of got tired of our day jobs and missed having time at home. We were spending so much time away from the farm, or from, at that point, just our home.
From the garden.
Yeah, from the garden, that we wanted to find a way to be home more. And we thought, hey, maybe we could grow enough food to sell it and make a living off of it. Let's just give it a try. And yeah, we started small and kind of learned the transition from being a gardener into being a farmer, which turns out is a very different thing. It takes a totally different skill set.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. Yeah. What were the surprises? What were you?
I think mainly just that it's not gardening on a bigger scale. I kind of thought that, well, we'll just do what we're doing and we'll just do more of it. But it doesn't work that way when you're trying to produce in quantity. You really have to think about how you're planting, what you're planting, when you're planting it in a completely different way than a home gardener would think of it, or in a completely different way than we had been thinking about it for so many years beforehand. So,
because you have to maximize space and that sort of thing?
Yeah, because you can't just plant one round of cabbages and be able to sell them all summer long.
Right.
You have to think, I want to have cabbages once every 2 weeks that are ready for harvest right at the right time. And so you have to figure out how many plantings you have to do, depending on how many times you want to sell throughout the summertime, and then figure out how long it takes for them to mature and make sure that you're using your space wisely too, because we have limited beds. So it's kind of like a game of figuring out when and where and how many and trying to plan it all out ahead of time so that as the season's going, everything just, boom, comes mature right at the right time so that you can harvest it and have a full farm stand each time you come to town.
It sounds like a game of spatial and temporal Tetris.
Totally.
That is then dependent on the weather.
Right. Of course, everything always gets messed up every year, too, because you have an idea of from years past how long things took, but then you'll have a totally different weather pattern and things will be not growing because it's cold and it's rainier than the year before, or things will be going nutso because we'll get 3 weeks of sunshine. So that's kind of the factor that I can't ever plan for. I can guess, but that always changes things. That's like one of the things that's out of my control.
So you have to learn to pivot a lot, I'm assuming.
Definitely. Definitely. Plans are always changing.
Yeah.
You make a great plan in March, in February and March, and everything looks beautiful and it's just going to work out perfect.
Yeah.
And then as soon as May comes around, everything's changed and you have to rework it.
But. Do you and Beau have a lot of conversations around the kitchen table, like looking at past year's notebooks and trying to figure out?
Yeah, we have a stack of binders. There's no way we could keep all of it in our head. So everything gets written down. And we definitely have a stack of binders in the corner that is our reference to, okay, well, now what? What do we do in the past? Let's look and see. Cheater sheets, which helps a lot.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds very complicated, but kind of satisfying in a way.
It is. It's a good challenge. I mean, part of why I enjoy what we do is getting to be outside and just the physical nature of it, using my body. But it's a nice complement that, too, there is this very cerebral planning element and problem-solving element that's like a constant focus throughout the season. So
that's so interesting because I always think of gardening as just being the physical. It didn't occur to me that there was that cerebral side as well, but it makes sense. Are you thinking about that as you're outside working? I always wonder where people's heads go when they're working in the garden or on the farm.
Yeah, it totally depends on the day of the week and where we're at in the season. I mean, I definitely have those moments where I just plug in and put on some music or listen to a podcast and, you know, let my mind wander because what I'm doing doesn't really require that, that, you know, special concentration. But then there's also moments, where I got a billion things going on and I'm trying to problem solve at the same time that I got to get this bed emptied out and replanted and, you know, doing kind of the double duty. So it depends.
Pivoting from your work as a farmer to the Farmer Summit, were you and Beau the original founders of the summit back in 2015? Do I have that right?
Yeah, you did your homework. Yeah, we were. Back in 2015, it was like about the fifth year of our farm business, and we just kept running into so many questions that didn't have easy answers, and none of the books we were reading had specific enough info that applied to Southeast or, you know, farm publications we were subscribing to, internet searches, whatever. It just seemed like, you know, this just doesn't really apply to here. We have a really unique circumstance, and we just thought, you know, there must be other folks who are trying to do this in the region. We should try and see if we can get people together and troubleshoot and learn from one another. And so we just put the word out, contacted everyone we knew and asked them to contact people they knew and said, we're going to be holding this, I think it was 1 or 2 day get together in Petersburg for anyone who's interested in growing vegetables and flowers commercially and come on down. We'll feed you and we'll have a great time and we'll learn from each other. So yeah, that was back in 2015. And I think we had like 35 or 40 people at that time who came to join.
Yeah. What was the experience like of being around all those people who are working in the same world?
It was so fun. It was so magical to just connect on that level with, you know, in Southeast, it's hard because we're all so separated by space and it's hard to travel to and from communities. It's not just like you can hop in the car and drive 20 minutes and visit someone else's farm. And so knowing, you know, having all those people coalesce in one place and learning that, oh, this person's doing something super similar to me just 100 miles away on a different island, but having such a strong connection because we were, you know, facing the same challenges and sharing the same joys of what we were doing. So it was super magical. It was a small enough group, too, that it just everyone was a light and just like, wow, you know, the first time kind of thing that it was really wonderful. I think everybody walked away from that feeling like, oh, OK, I'm not alone. And I have resources and people that I can lean on. And since then, there, you know, the network and the web of growers has really strengthened just via email or phone calls or even when we happen to be traveling within the region, always stopping and finding the folks that we've met through the Farmer Summit to see their farms. And so it was super magical.
Do you think that having that network makes it easier for people who might be interested to make the leap into farming because they have that support system?
I think for sure. I mean, I think when you start farming here in Southeast, it feels really lonely because generally there's probably not anyone nearby you who's doing that. And it's hard to find information. Like, you really have to learn by trial and error because what you read about in most farming publications doesn't really apply to, you know, our soggy temperate rainforest climate here. So I think, you know, I think when we first did that gathering, the number of people who were actually commercially selling flowers and produce versus how many are now, 8 years later, it's skyrocketed. Like there's who knows what it is that is set off, but I'd like to think that the Farmer Summit has had a hand in like encouraging people and inspiring people like, hey, mm-hmm. other people are doing this. It's possible.
Yeah. You don't have to reinvent the wheel because
exactly.
you can learn from all these other people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
And having that shorthand of experience and language when you get together with people, it creates connections so quick.
Totally.
It creates friendships so quickly.
Totally.
So, yeah,
you can get to like a deeper level faster mm-hmm. with people who you share that common language or that common experience.
Yeah. So are there any differences in terms of how you did the summit the first year versus now, 8 years later? Have you learned things? Have you changed things?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're always trying to tweak it and make it more valuable for participants in whatever way we can. And I think the biggest difference is the number of participants. You know, like I said, back in 2015, it was only 35 or 40 people. And so it really had a homey feel to it. You know, we could sit around in a large group and all talk together. We at that time, we found homestays for all the farmers who were coming from out of town.
Wow, so that is incredible.
People in town volunteered their extra rooms. Yeah. And, you know, it really felt like kind of this embracing, warm hosting mm-hmm. Event. And I think now, in 2019, we had over 120 farmers at the Farmer Summit in Sitka. And this year, we're looking at around 100 here in Petersburg. So it's just the size of the group has ballooned, and therefore we kind of have to change how we do things and what we're able to, mm-hmm. you know, we try to make sure that it's the sessions are really focused on Southeast specific material, mm-hmm. That it's not just kind of farming in general, because you can get that information in other
right.
places. And we do still try to make sure that the thing that's highlighted the most is connecting and connection between the participants. So we have a lot of opportunities for small group discussion and just one-on-one interaction, helping people find the other people in the region who they can connect with and learn from and mm-hmm. and then be in touch with into the future as well
yeah.
when problems come up.
Yeah. And you have an open day on Friday. The summit is from Thursday through Saturday, but Friday is an open day that's free to the public and you don't have to register for. Why did you decide to do it that way?
We do try to do that in every – okay, so the idea of the Farmer Summit is to have it move to different Southeast communities every time it's held. It's held once mm-hmm. every other year. Obviously, during COVID, things got messed up a little bit, but it's meant to be once every other year and then in a different community. It started in Petersburg. 2 years later, it moved to Haines. 2 years later, it was in Sitka. And due to some factors outside of our control, we're holding it again here in Petersburg this year. But the idea is that every other year it will be in a different community. And we do that because we want to be able to reach everyone in these small communities, especially people who might not be full-on gung-ho farmers yet mm-hmm. and therefore wouldn't like pay for the expenses to travel to an event in another community. But if it's in my community, like maybe I'll go and see what I can learn and
yeah.
and really catch those folks and inspire them to grow more and amp up their game and maybe become a quote unquote farmer rather than a gardener.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, here in Petersburg, we want to have Friday be open to the public again for those kind of folks who are like, well, I don't really want to pay for the whole three days and I'm not that much of a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
But for people who have an interest and want to learn more, we tried to focus the sessions that we're having available on Friday to be specific to maybe more of a home gardener or a prolific home gardener, and that then they could make those connections with other people who are coming from around the region and kind of light that spark and
yeah.
and start the juices flowing.
Yeah. yeah. And those the courses on Friday sound really interesting. I've been reading the PSA on KFSK, so I have them memorized. There's one about growing mushrooms on logs.
Correct. Shiitakes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That one sounds so interesting. There's one about slug control.
Mm-hmm.
And always pertinent
Definitely.
Topic.
Definitely.
And then there's one about amendments to soil, which means like seaweeds and other things that you would add into
yeah,
soil.
Yeah, yeah. How to use shells and
yeah.
other stuff coming from the sea, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, we just tried to focus on kind of the most graspable, most common issues mm-hmm. that people are having in the area, and yeah. that not only farmers but home gardeners alike would also benefit from yeah. learning more. And we're bringing in one of the top slug experts in the nation from Oregon, and then a really great soil scientist, a retired guy now, but he worked for UAF up north, and just a wealth of information. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have them come and share their information and then be around, and you know, people get the chance to talk one-on-one or in small groups yeah. as well, and really like pick their brain about, but I have this one slug and I just don't know what to do about it.
And then Spruce Root is newly partnered with the Farmers Summit. Spruce Root, the nonprofit out of Juneau, is newly partnered with the summit to do some of the background organization and administration stuff. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So we had been, our first year, it was just Bo and I who did everything. And then the following two summits, we had a sponsor organization of the Southeast Alaska Watershed Council. They had written a pretty big grant to sponsor both of those summits and helped provide logistical planning. So Bo and I were basically working on content and making sure the sessions were applicable and mm-hmm. finding the speakers and figuring out what people would want, what farmers would actually want to hear about and learn about.
Yeah.
But they were taking care of everything else, all the background work. And they had to pull out. And so this year, Bo and I were back to doing everything ourselves, and we wrote a grant for it and did all the planning and everything. But it's a huge amount of work on top of our already busy farming job. And mm-hmm. so we sought out organizations around Southeast to figure out who would be a good fit to kind of mm-hmm. fill that role again, and had conversations with Spruce Root, and just felt like the mission of Spruce Root really fit with a lot of what the Farmers Summit is doing, yeah. which is supporting local entrepreneurs. Farmers are entrepreneurs in every sense of the word, to, you know, have a successful business that it follows that triple bottom line philosophy that Spruce Root is really passionate about, mm-hmm. About making sure your business isn't just about profits, but it's about taking care of your community and about taking care of the environment yeah. around you. So we just felt really good about partnering with them, and they have a lot of support yeah. and can help us with that. So in the future, future summits, we get to release all the budgeting and grant writing and yeah. all the logistical stuff that goes in the background, and just focus on content and who comes to speak and what sort yeah. of sessions are available.
Amazing. And that will make the summit as a project a lot more sustainable.
Way more sustainable for Bo and I.
Yes. Yeah. Good, definitely. Good. And
that's the goal.
And I had a conversation with Izzy Haywood of Spruce Root last mm-hmm. week on The Common Good. So you can find information about Spruce Root and their projects and their work with the Farmer Summit on yeah. KFSK.org. Thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Good
Anna.
Luck getting everything, all the last little bits organized.
Thanks, Hannah.
Thanks, Maria. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to chat with a farmer who is here in Petersburg for the Farmers Summit, Joe Orsi. Well, I am here with Joe Orsi of Akbe's Orsi Organics. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Hannah, how you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for being here. We were just listening to this conversation with Mario, and you were laughing and smiling and nodding. It seems like you maybe had some shared experiences there.
Oh, yeah.
So we were talking before the mics were on, and you said that you have a long history of gardening, and then you got into commercial farming about 12 or 13 years ago. Tell me a little bit about how you got into growing food in the first place, and then why you made that switch.
Okay, Han, I guess it goes way back. I grew up in Southern California, I hate to admit it, but my mom was really interested. She grew up on a citrus grove, and she would pay me to grow food, you know. So we had a backyard and acre, and I grew food, and it was cool. So I went away to school, became a fishery biologist, worked for 35 years for NOAA. And then during that time, I always have had a passion for growing things, and I decided, well, I'm just going to try doing it commercially. So about 12 years ago, we started selling at farmers markets, and it just has grown from there. And now that I get older, it's kind of I've reached my pinnacle. Now I'm heading back down on the other side, but I'm trying to work smarter, not harder. So anyway,
what is it about? You said you have a passion for growing things. Can you put that into words? Why do you have that passion?
Just something about looking over a crop of like hundreds of square feet of garlic or potatoes or carrots, or just seeing that big block of crop that, you know, people are really eager to get their hands on, you know, at the farmers markets, and they really appreciate it. So it's also, you know, our family likes to, you know, put up some too for our personal use, of course, and share some with neighbors, you know, barter and stuff like that. So that's kind of the motivation. But just seeing that open crop, you know, it's almost like I don't even want to harvest it. It looks so beautiful.
Do you walk out in the morning and just kind of gaze over all of your gardens?
Yeah, sometimes. Unless there's a lot of weeds, then I'm horrified. Then I'm on my hands and knees pulling weeds.
One of the things that you were laughing about listening to Maria's conversation was about where your mind goes when you're working. What were you thinking about when you were listening to her just then?
I was thinking, you know, I start off going, oh, I got to repair the electric fence over here, back here. And I start walking, and pretty soon I see something I need to do over here, and I'm working on that. And then I see something over here, I got to work on the pack shed. And then I see something over here, I got to work on this. And by the time the day's over, I said, well, I guess I better get back to the electric fence because I just get sidetracked a lot. I've over the years tried to become more efficient, you know, what I do. And instead of trying to grow everything under the sun, you know, apples to zucchini, I now just grow, you know, a dozen or so crops and kind of narrow it down.
Just how do you choose which crops you grow?
The ones that are that I like to eat, for one thing, and that I can get a good value for the amount of effort I put into growing them.
Hmm. Do you have some that are not easy to grow, but you just really like them, so you put all the effort in?
You know, I was doing tomatoes, Hannah, for a long time, but I've since just given up with tomatoes because, you know, I've got a high tunnel on – we got like a quarter acre that we grow on. I've got 1,000-foot high tunnel.
Is that a type of greenhouse?
Yeah, it's like a earthen greenhouse, but you don't put any heat in it. It's kind of a passive thing.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, that's the Farmer's Summit, the first one that Mari was talking about. That's what got me inspired to build a high tunnel. So I went and got a USDA grant. You know, we had representatives there at the summit and talked to them and said, hey, I'll try that. So by building the high tunnel, that enabled me to increase my crop portfolio and grow cucumbers, zucchinis, and tomatoes in a covered area because it's more favorable to warm weather crops. So, but the tomatoes, what I've found over the years is you just end up with a lot of green tomatoes come August, September, and it's very frustrating to have hundreds of pounds of these tomatoes that you just can't sell. You still can, but it's just frustrating. So I grow crops that I know produce well and people are eager to get them. And so I focus more like on zucchini and cucumbers and things like that in the high tunnel.
Yeah. So you said that idea came from the first Farmers Summit. So you've been going since the very beginning. I'm curious whether your experience was similar to what Maria was talking about, where she was just so excited to be around a ton of people who had the same joys and same frustrations in farming.
Yeah, it's pretty infectious. You know, you get around people, like-minded people that are passionate about growing things, and, you know, a lot of good chemistry goes on there. You know, I mean, I can't say that I owe everything to the Farmer Summit that I grow now because I've done a lot of experimentation, you know, outside of what I've seen at the Farmer Summit. But it's just a good way to kind of, you know, try to pull things together.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a lot of people who have been to the Farmer Summit owe a lot of what they do to your experimentation.
Yeah. I'd like to think so. I like to think I help other people. You know, I think the Sitka Summit, we did a crop flavorful and productive crop list where I censused a whole bunch of people over Southeast and came up with the preferred varieties for each crop type and put that out as a handout. And I think that was well received. And a lot of people contributed to that.
That sounds like a great handout. Do you know if that's still around?
I've got it on my website.
Oh.
Worcester Organic Produce. You can just Google that. And you can just get a PDF on that. But that's because you spend a lot of time trying varieties that that don't work well in our climate. And some, you know, like apples. Yeah, I can grow apples every year. But, you know, most years they don't do all that great. to be perfectly honest with you.
Do you have, Maria referenced a binder? And I know that when I talk to – we have a gardening show here on KFSK called In the Garden with Ed Bajarski. And when I talk to him, he's always talking about his notebooks. Do you have extensive note-taking systems as well?
I wish I did. I have a lot of spreadsheets, annual spreadsheets, just day what happens. And I just kind of refer back to the spreadsheets.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
Is there a particular thing that you are excited about in terms of this Farmer Summit?
I think, like Maria said, just kind of, you know, reconnecting with folks that you've met over the last several Farmer Summits and just kind of compare notes. And you never know. It might pick up on something.
Yeah. And maybe meeting some people who are new to the game.
Try to help them along. That's always nice.
Give them a little bit of encouragement in this soggy.
Or a reality check.
Oh, dear.
I hate to say it.
Would you be the tough love kind of guy who's like, you should probably cut your losses?
I definitely would.
All right. If you're here for the Farmers Summit and you need a reality check, go find Joe Orsi. He will tell it to you straight.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you coming in. Thanks so much. And we'll see you around town.
Okay. Thank you, Hannah.
Yep.
The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.